part two, Pastor Brian. So I'm going to read from 1 Kings, and it's chapter 19, and I'm going to read from 1 through to 11. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by."
Thank you, Mari. Thank you for that. Let me just come back on screen, wherever I am. There we are. Well, I don't know about you. I really loved how the Bible, how the Word of God shows us its heroes of faith, warts and all. There are no stained glass window saints in the Bible. You get the raw who people are. We see it with Peter. We see it with David. We see it with Paul. And we see it here with Elijah as well. I call it warts and all is an old phrase. Hopefully people understand what that means. We see their victories and we see their struggles and we see their failures. In other words, what the Bible brings is a spiritual reality of the saints of God, a spiritual reality. Somebody said this about Elijah, that when you think about all the things, you read all the things he's done, and he only appears in just a few chapters, really, in the Old Testament there, as the storyline of his life. He appears in lots of other places, but somebody said this of Elijah. He is to be ranked as the greatest religious personality that had been raised up since Moses. He should be ranked as the greatest religious personality that had been raised up since Moses. Moses, the great lawgiver, the guy who goes to Mount Sinai, which is actually where this mountain is. It's the same place. The great lawgiver, immense spiritual man of God. And then we have Elijah, the number one prophetic figure, the figure by which all other prophetic ministries are judged, really, this great, powerful prophetic figure. In fact, John the Baptist is described as the last of that Old Testament line of prophets like Elijah. He's a powerful worker of miracles. He stops the rain for 3.5 years. He raises a child to life. He's involved with miraculous supplies of food. And he likes calling down fire from heaven. He stood fearlessly in front of the highest authorities in the land. You know, we're not dealing here with some sort of spiritual wimp, are we? Or some, he stood in front of the king and tells it as it is. I'm going to stop the rain until you change your ways. Very anointed man of God. Very anointed man of God. But my friend, it's a friend of mine, Jeff Lucas, said this in a book he wrote on the life of Elijah. He says this: this same hero, despite his undeniable anointing, became so stressed that he wanted to die, despite experiencing that mighty power of God. You know, it's incredible. He moves from the mountaintop victory of Mount Carmel, where it's an incredible, miraculous thing. It's not just a chance happening that the sun went through some light and done it and everything burnt up. No, he poured water on his sacrifices. You know, the whole thing is an incredible experience, a mighty display of the power of God. But he moves from that mountaintop experience, literally on Mount Carmel, as a mighty man of God to now in this reading, hundreds of miles away. He's hundreds of miles away from Carmel. He's wandering in the Sinai Desert now, hundreds of miles away. And he's been wandering there for the best part of 6 weeks, 40 days. It's unbelievable how he's moved from this great experience there to he's wandering in the desert, hiding in a cave, depressed, distressed. And here we are, as Mari said, read it through, I've had enough. He's finished from one thing to another very quickly, very quickly. I want you to notice as well, it's the same desert, the same wilderness that Israel wandered in. But not for 40 days, but for 40 years. 40 is a figure in the Bible that depicts a long time. So 40 years is a very long time. And 40 days is a long time. As Jesus was tested also in the desert for 40 days. But here then we see Elijah. We can sing about the days of Elijah. Well, he didn't feel like the days of Elijah when he's wandering in the desert. He is physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted, as I said last week. But I want to say, being physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted is still a safe place to be for the servant of God. It was for Elijah and it is for us. He's safe in God's hands, even if he can't feel. Even if he's got no feeling, I've had enough, I can't cope anymore. This is the end of it. I just want to lay down and die. And he's still safe. He's absolutely secure in God's hands. I want you to know, we just thought about this great prophet of God, anointed man of God. And what we can learn from this is what James, the brother of Jesus, says in James 5:17. Elijah was only human as we are. So Colin Urquhart puts it in the translation of the New Testament. Elijah was only human as we are. And the same Holy Spirit that was in him also dwells in you and I. You see, there's a promise that was for this, has always been yesterday and today and forever. The Lord's promise, which was true for Elijah and still true for you and I today. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, when you feel like it and when you don't. In season and out of season, when you feel you're at the very end of everything and I seem a million miles away, I am still with you. I'm still with you. And he's still with us, be it in a moral failure or like, and he hasn't had a moral failure, Elijah. And he's still with us when we backslide. But for here, he hasn't done either of those things. Elijah's burnt out. He's had some mental illness. But God's promises for every condition of human beings is, I won't forsake you if I will never forsake you. I am with you so long as you do what I want. No, I'm always with you. And as I tried to say to you last time, actually, the really important thing for us to realize before we go for a break in a moment is that actually, where is God? When I'm born again, God's spirit dwells in me. The spirit of God was upon Elijah, in him, empowering him, enabling him to do all the things he had to be. And the same is true for every believer. Since the Lord's spirit is within us. So even though my spiritual man may be alive, sometimes my physical and my emotional man and woman isn't always the same. You see, the Holy Spirit is our invisible helper. And the Holy Spirit here is Elijah's invisible helper, leading him not away from the desert, but through the desert. Where to? Where is he being led to? He's been fed because the journey's long. He's going to the mountain of God. He's going into the wilderness in Sinai, and he's going to be going up the mountain of God to a new experience, a new encounter, a fresh encounter with the living God. All directed and drawn there by the Holy Spirit. And however we might feel just at this moment of time, the reality is true. He leads us. He guides us. He has nothing but good in mind for us. We're going to stop now, and I'm going to ask that you can sit and listen to this if you like. It's a little a video from YouTube, and it's a very old song by David Evans. Somebody else I think that I've met as well, and it's that song, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord.
With reverence.
See, brothers and sisters, what I think is important for us to understand is the Holy Spirit, God within us, the omnipresent God in believers through faith in Jesus. It's seen here, leading the prophet on in unexpected ways. He dwells within us. He dwells within us and leads us often in most unexpected ways. You can't believe from Mount Carmel that Elijah was expecting his spiritual journey to go this way. But this way it went. And leading him through a desert, but back up a mountain. He'd been on a mountain where the power of God came down. He's now being led again, Elijah, up a mountain. And it's the same mountain where God appeared and passed by Moses as he gave him the law. It's probably, most people think, the same cave too that Moses was in. But this time, Elijah is just in, and he's just in there overnight, and it says, but there's going to be no powerful fireworks on this mountain in the same way that there were before. There are powerful fireworks, but God is not in them. He's not going to encounter God with a powerful display. It's something very different. Moses experienced God and shone, it says, as he came down and reflected the glory of the Lord as he received the law. And he was there for a long time up on that mountain with the Lord. But Elijah's experience is in the same place, but it's a different experience to the one of Moses. The same place, same mountain, same instructions that the Lord is about to pass by. But this time he doesn't experience him in the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the earthquake, but that still, quiet, small voice, all the silence as well. You see, the healer knows, God the healer knows what Elijah needed. He knows what you and I need. He knows exactly what we need. We think we know what we need, but the Lord knows exactly what each one of us know, what each one of us needs. The Lord knows that. He knows what you are in need of right now. And in God's immeasurable kindness, he gently restores, gently recommissions, and very, very gently redirects the prophet. You see, the trouble is, and I know quite well from experience, the third thing I want to say to you is that actually stress and burnout and fear and exhaustion and all the things that come with that, everything else becomes larger than life, much larger than life. And the small things become large and bigger than they ought to be. And that's exactly what we see here with Elijah. You see it actually when God asks him twice, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And notice that God doesn't jump in and tell him what's what. He lets him talk. He lets him talk. Because, and that's what we need to understand, however you feel, we can always talk to the Lord. Let him know how we feel, even if it isn't quite correct. But you see, old Elijah starts sort of, well, and in verse 10 and again in verse 1, I have been very zealous for the Lord God. That's true. I think we could all agree that he's been quite zealous. Wouldn't you agree with me? He's been quite zealous, right? But what isn't true, and if you summarise the rest of the verses, that everybody's against me and they're trying to kill me. That isn't actually true. That's false. But that's how it appears to me. Has everybody said they're going to kill him? No. Just one person. The truth is, he's been undone. His faith and his mind have all got jumbled up. Why? in no small part because of the empty threats of the Queen. The empty threats of an angry woman, Jezebel. Sure, she's a demonic figure. She's her demonic, hateful words and the arrow in which they're shot at Elijah wound him and hits the mark. And the anointed man of God, because he's also exhausted, physically and spiritually exhausted from all that he's done on Carmel, finds his faith and his power drains away. So he'd never had it. It's all yesterday. And so often we focus on the negative and it becomes larger than life. We focus on what isn't actually real and that's a real danger for the prophet. It often happens when we're physically and spiritually exhausted. My friend Jeff Lucas says in his book, and I can echo it, and sure many pastors echo it as well, often after a service, after you've preached, after you've perhaps prayed or you've ministered with people, you can feel absolutely exhausted. And Jeff Lucas talks about being in the car driving home from a great meeting where people have got saved, people have got healed, God moved in mighty power, and then he can even doubt if God even exists. And he said this to a bunch of leaders once, and no one, because we daren't talk like that. But it's not just leaders that feel like that, is it? Sometimes you can have a great mountaintop experience, only for it to be sucked away, and we end up in that valley of doubt, that valley of despair, that wonder what's going on. And I know for myself how easy that is to be. That's why you do need to be mindful of each other, I think. Because, like Elijah, we're only humans, aren't we? And you see, we're carrying around this anointing. We're carrying around and the Holy Spirit dwells in us in our frail human frame. All right, you know, they're frail human frames sometimes. And we're not always as strong as we should be, are we? Sometimes we're not. Jesus knows what that's like. Goodness, he went to sleep on a boat where a great storm comes and all the fishermen are wondering whether or not they're even going to survive. And he's fast asleep. Why? Because he's been on a mountain ministering and he's exhausted and tired. And we should never take it for granted that we carry this glorious anointing of God, the glorious Holy Spirit within us. We carry him around in these frail human frames. We carry his gifts, his anointing. I want to think about this a bit more next week, because I've probably said enough now, and Linda, tell me off in a minute if I go on for too long. But next time, I would think about that God tells Elijah, actually, that he's not alone as well. Because one of the important things is when you get like this, you feel that it's just you. The world's against me. Everybody's against me. Nobody understands me. Does that sound a little bit like Elijah? And it can sound like us too. And he says, you're not to be alone. But I want to pick up more on that next time, I think. And to go back the way you came. That's a reading on a little bit of verse 15. In other words, what the Lord says to you and I, actually, that physical, spiritual, and mental healing takes time. It took Elijah over 6 weeks to get to this place. But I'd suggest it probably came on before that. But so God is saying to him, get physically strong. Don't beat yourselves up if we're not. Take time outside to get strong. Take some rest. Food and exercise. I just said to Lynn, I think I might need to go for a walk. Food and Elijah wasn't very good at it. He had to be fed by ravens in other places. He gets somewhere else, he's sent, and he's all of a sudden has to ask a widow on, with almost nothing left, give us a bit of your food, will you? He, perhaps he wasn't very good looking after himself terribly well. And sometimes we can be like, God knows that we need to look after our physical, mental and spiritual well-being. Take time, take rest, food. Go back the way you came. That's a bit of exercise for you, isn't it? And most of all, don't let negative words land. Don't let negative words and arrows of the evil one, which is exactly what it was, which is it's called in the New Testament, land on you. That's what he'd done. He'd let the words of this woman, negative words, land on him. Paul says there's a remedy for that. And perhaps just as we finish today, I want us to think about that. And he says this, doesn't he? I think it's in Philippians 4, I think. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right or pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. Parents, let's mind that as well. Partners, let's make sure that whatever we see in our children, in our partners, that we focus on the excellent and the praiseworthy, the lovely. Because, you know, those words of encouragement, we know, build up. But negative words destroy. How was the world put into such a mess? As we go back to Genesis chapter 3, did God say? He didn't say. Little words of doubt. Little words of destruction. You're not any good. I've lived a lifetime of people saying you're not any good at this or whatever. Somebody told me I was the worst Baptist minister they'd ever met. I could have told them that. I am. Well, apart from Mari and Al, but you know, no, I. And you see, but we can either let that land or we have to let it pass. And too often I've discovered when I let negative words land in me, untrue words, harsh words, difficult words, they cause all those things that Elijah went through to start to build. Doubts and fears. God becomes distant. What's it all about? I've had enough. And actually, God doesn't say any of those things. You feel gentle voice of the Lord here. What on earth are you doing here? Why are you here? What are you doing here? Not what are you doing here? What are you doing? You feel God's heart. And God's heart is always, wherever we are, to take us by the hand, take the time that we need to move us on. We will all come out of this pandemic. And we can all have those senses of, it's all pointless and worthless and what's it all about. But actually, God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for your life and my life and our lives together. We have not finished. That's what he says to Elijah. You haven't finished. And indeed, you haven't seen anything quite yet. Mount Carmel might have been wonderful, but seeing a chariot come down out of heaven and saying, your carriage awaits, and whirling him back up to heaven must have been something else altogether, don't you think? So let's think on the positive. Let's watch what we say and don't allow what other people say that is negative, destructive or hurtful or vengeful land. The world's full of that. We've seen that too often on the news, the politicians. Our lives are governed by a higher authority, the authority of God and his love in Jesus. Amen. I want to pray with you. Let's just pray right now, wherever you are. I want you to know that God really is on your side. He loves you with an everlasting love. Your thinking, your spiritual life might be jumbled up. It might be all mixed up. You might feel fearful. Wonder where God is. You might feel absolutely exhausted, physically or mentally. Just know that the Lord is there, holding your hand, speaking gently to you. Don't try and determine what he's saying to you. Just know that he's there in the silence. I'm with you always, in season and out of season, when you get it wrong, when you get it right, when you're tired, when you sleep, when you're awake, when you're busy or when you're at rest, I'm always with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord for the truth of that revelation. These are the days of Elijah for you.